up in it, and for me, since this is post-divorce shit, so it's buy a new home, new furniture, new appliances, the whole nine yards. So it's
Wow.
just kind of crazy fucking time right now, and I do have the keys to the Think Atheist account at another provider. I just have not gotten over there, and nor have I had the time. I haven't had the time to investigate it, and I haven't had the time to investigate whether or not I should just put it up under one of my own domains and just do it there. I don't use anything remotely. Like, I don't even use a tenth of the bandwidth that I have up there. And just, when we're talking about, one to two
Well, this is Dr.
podcasts a
Stan
week,
here.
I really don't think I'd hit my
This is
bandwidth
Dr.
totals over there.
Stan here at the Radio Liberty Network, coming in from the hills
Ustream is not
overlooking
really an option.
Beautiful
They don't have a good category
Monterey
for
Bay
us.
And bringing you the news
There are other options
behind the
where,
news.
We could do video as well.
Hoping to convince
is
you
the
that
thing.
reality
And
is
I just,
usually scoffed
after
at.
next week,
That
I'll be
illusion
able to start
is
looking at things.
usually
Hopefully, actually,
thing.
next weekend.
But in the
I'll be
battle
able to
for
start
survival of
looking at
Western
things. So we'll
civilization,
figure it out
it's
by then.
going to be
We
reality,
should
not
be,
illusion or
sometime by
delusion, that's going to
mid-May, we'll
determine what
hopefully
the
get this
future will
moved.
bring. And I need to remind you the views
And figure out
expressed here and
what
not
to do with all the
necessarily
old
those of the
podcasts
owners,
if I can,
management,
download them,
staff,
save them off,
sponsors, and supporters of the
reincarnate
station
them
you're
somewhere
listening
else.
to.
But
They happen to be my views, and
obviously
for the
when we
next
move, it
hour,
will kill the
they're going to be
current
the views of Bob
iTunes
Chapman of the
podcast
International
stream.
Forecaster,
Well, the
and we're going to be talking about the things
the
that are
iTunes
happening
should stay there.
now, that
I
are
mean,
really
they won't go
unparalleled
away
in
unless
the history
you
of our
no,
nation.
it, no, it, it won't.
Because you
Yeah,
see
absolutely.
a worsening,
it won't go away.
the
But whenever we
skyrocketing
start
price
under
of
some other
gold ended
service,
up,
we'll
I think,
have a new
$1,411
podcast stream up there under iTunes.
Announced today,
so you could go
silver
Think
was up
Atheist
almost a dollar, almost to $28
2.0 or something.
And of course, that's
to differentiate from the first one.
The fact that
the
chairman of the Federal Reserve
Think
System, Ben
podcast.
Bernanke, has announced he's going to apply
show.
Quantitative easing to, he's going to just start pouring money into the economy in the effort to create inflation. Intentional effort to create
Sounds
inflation.
Like
well, of course, the purpose
got
of the
it pretty well under
of the
control,
central
I
bank
think.
when it was established in 1913 was to maintain the value of the currency so
I
you would not have booms
what I
and busts. But unfortunately, the purpose of the central bank has become
to
creating
really get that going.
Booms to
profit
the banks, and
Ustream
now we have the banks that are too
really,
big to
but
fail.
Really,
if they can go
they
ahead and do whatever they want to, they can do all
them.
Sorts of irresponsible
is thing.
Things, and they're going to be bailed out by the taxpayers. And that was what this new legislation that the Obama administration put through. It was simply to give the banks the guarantee that no matter how bad things got, they were going to do well at the expense of the American taxpayers, but the average American doesn't understand that. This legislation was to control the banks. No, ladies and gentlemen, it was to put the banks in total control of our economy as they move to simply ride roughshod over the American people. Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, you're entirely welcome, and I'm very happy to be here. And I think we had a very exciting day today.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners what happened today, why you think it's exciting, and what certainly the quantitative easing too that has been imposed, what that means for the average person out there in the listening audience?
Well, the creation of quantitative easing is nothing more than or less than the increase in money and credit. And so consequently, they dreamt up a highfalutin word for something that's very simple. And Mr. Bernanke and his crew are getting a lot of heat, even within their own ranks, so to speak. Yesterday they had their meeting at Jekyll Island, the anniversary of a 100 years in the formation of the Federal Reserve, and several people there from former Federal Reserve people and people within the CFR Trilat structure didn't know whether that was the right thing to do or not.
Well, basically, of course, what you expand the money supply, you decrease the value of the existing money. And what, of course, they're going to do then is erode the value of the currency. And the people who worked all their lives are going to have their value of their currency stolen from them. There's no better way to destroy a nation or to impoverish the population other than to destroy the monetary supply. And what they're going to do is just keep printing more and more and more money, because certainly $600 billion isn't going to solve the problem. They're going to have to put in more money and more money and more money. And they did that in the Weimar Republic. Didn't work. They did that in Zimbabwe. Didn't work. Oh, but we're much smarter than they were. It'll work here, won't it? Or will it? Well, go right ahead, Bob, because I think it's important that people understand that there's been even people within the Federal Reserve Board, the members of the Federal Reserve Board, are very, very concerned about what's been undertaken.
You're right. And the bottom line for the people within the Federal Reserve and others who are involved with it, the shareholders in particular, they are frightful because they don't know whether it's going to be successful. And if it's not, and they rather think it's not, then they have a deep and integral part to play in what's going on and have in the past. And so I think what's going to happen is that they're going to go ahead with this, and it's going to be unsuccessful, and we're going to have a move to perhaps a new currency. And as we talked earlier about the statement by Robert Solner of perhaps, you know, we'll have a new currency, or perhaps it will be the dollar, and it'll be backed by gold. I mean, this is the first thing that I've heard from someone who's inside the entire situation that spoke anything about having gold. I mean, it's been anathema. I mean, they fought for years to keep the price of gold and silver down, and so this is quite a turn of events. And so we don't know where this thing's going, but they obviously have a plan, and it could include the dollar, because if the dollar uses its gold, assumably they have gold, we really don't know, because it has been audited since 1954, and so we don't know whether they have it or not. And of course, they don't tell the truth very much of the time, and so that casts aspersions upon the statements by government and those around government. And so I think it's going to be an interesting episode. I know that the IMF, which creates the special drawing right, the SDR, I think the IMF...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with all of our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was simply talking about the statement made just a few days ago by Robert Zolnick, who is the former president of the World Bank, saying that maybe what we need, or what we do need at this time, is a world reserve currency backed by gold. Now, Bob thinks that might be the dollar backed by gold, but the fact that Mr. Zolnick has brought this up, Mr. Zolnick is a member of the Trilateral Commission, or has been a member of the Trilateral Commission, and he would not make that public statement unless that is what they're thinking. Now, I think that maybe they've had to change course. I don't know, but when Robert Zolnick speaks, listen to what he has to say. He's a member of this little group of 87 people who really run America, and that play a large part in running the world. And if those of you remember certainly Barry Goldwater's book With No Apologies, when he talked on page 280, remember his book was written in 1979, on page 280 he talks about the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, it's domestic, but the Trilateral Commission is international, and the goal is to take control of the financial and commercial interests, and he's talking of the whole world, by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. Well, they did that. There's certainly between 1977 and 2008. Every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership of this little group that's only got 86 to 87 members. Now, they're not members now, but they were before they became the president and or vice president. They control the government. They control Obama. They control Bush. Nobody talks about it, but when Robert Zoellick comes up and says we're going to need a gold-backed currency, a world reserve currency that's gold-backed, I think we should listen, and that certainly suggests things are going to get very good for gold and very bad for the dollar. It's going to lose a good deal of its value under any circumstances. Go right ahead and pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, I think you're right, Stan. That it's extremely significant. And it just really came out of the blue. You've got to remember, for years and years, I can remember going back to 1967 illegally. They suppressed gold prices. And they did it again during the 1970s, all unsuccessfully. And so to have this happen, to me, means they've thrown in the towel. I think they're going to reverse their process of destroying the economies of Western Europe and the United States in order to force people to accept world government. And if that's the case, they're taking a big risk, because in that process, it may come about that people will say, well, gee, how did we have this turnaround, and why did we go down economically and financially and have this happen in the first place? Was it planned that way? And you and I and others who are on talk radio as well as in the Internet, writing and talking, have told the public that this is their intention. And so there's a great deal of risk in anything that they're doing, but pulling back allows the opportunity for prosecution for the things that they've done. It's so well known in America today and throughout the world of the absolute tremendous corruption that's rife on Wall Street and in banking, the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Congress, the House, Senate, and in business in general. I mean, it's even politically acceptable for anybody in business to lie. And it's acceptable. It's mind-blowing. And we had a replacement through his resignation as well as voting of approximately 100 members of Congress and the Senate, which amounts to what? Amounts to probably 5-7% of the people who are in those august bodies, if you may. And we did have change, but quite frankly, it wasn't enough. And the people still don't get it. And hopefully we could do better, but in the meantime, the question is, are the people who are new going to attempt to legislate for the people, or for the people who are paying them off are going to attempt to pay them off? And so there's a big question mark there. We got part of what we wanted, but will it work?
Well, I think it was very interesting. I was reading someplace where a congressman, a new congressman had just gotten into office. And as soon as he got into office, he started getting donations for his campaign from the major banks, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup. They were all sending him money. I mean, he'd just get into Congress and he's getting money. Well, down the line, when the TARP legislation came up, and he voted against the TARP legislation, which was a bailout for Wall Street, Street, suddenly all checks stopped, and they started funding his opposition. That's the way the system works. And it is the banks who own Congress, and they are the largest contributors to Congress, and the next largest group is the lawyers for the banks, and then the next largest group is the lobbyists for the banks. I mean, people who cannot vote for a congressman shouldn't be able to give him money, but they do. Why? Because they want to own him, because, of course, they own government, and basically they appoint, I mean, Goldman Sachs has their people in every key position in government surrounding, President Obama, but they did the same thing with the Bush administration, the Clinton administration. I would suggest for our listeners, if you haven't seen the program that Jesse Ventura did on Wall Street, it was only out within the last 2 weeks, go up on the Internet and get that. That program on conspiracy theory on Wall Street. It's as good as anything I've seen. Certainly, we might disagree on a few things. But basically, what Jesse is saying that Wall Street owns the government, and he's absolutely right. It's about time that people understand that it's not simply Wall Street, it's the banks. And they own the government, and they tell the president what to do. And if you think the president controls the economy, that's what they want you to believe. The president does what he is told to believe, according to General James Jones, just recently left the National Security Council. But he said, I get my orders every day from Brett Scowcroft and Sandy Berger, from Henry Kissinger. He gives the orders to them, and they give the orders. I get the orders from Henry Kissinger, through Sandy Berger, and Brett Scowcroft. I get my orders every day from the chain of command. And so what's Henry Kissinger, a Republican, doing, giving orders to the man who gives orders to President Bush? Why, very simply, President Obama. He's the same guy who orders to President Bush. It doesn't matter. The American people are supposed to believe in the two-party system, and it's as phony as a $3 bill. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and you go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think you're right about that. There is no fairness to the situation. It's been captured, and probably for a long, long time. And we tried to resurrect our participation within that, and we don't know whether we're going to be recognized as a voting public. And only time will tell. We'll probably know by April. I think it'd also be very interesting to see if any legislation is passed during the lame duck session, because about some 45 or 50 of those people who were in Congress, they resigned and did not run again, so they can't vote. And so I think it's going to be very, very difficult to get what they would like passed, and there's a number of things. And I think it'll give us some idea of whether there's been any change of heart or mind with the people who were reelected, and whether they're going to continue to bow to those who have paid for them. And so, you know, we've got a lot of things coming, and we don't know where they're going. I mean, you know, it's so easy to have something very important happen when you don't expect it. And that Zelnick piece was a perfect example. I mean, who would have thought? But I think their program is unsuccessful. I think that they're deeply concerned. The whole world's going to find out what they're doing. And so I think they're going to reverse course here. At least that's my initial reaction, and not try to bring everybody into world government. I think they're going to back off on it again and try another time, and they've done this several times. But I think this time they're going to have a hard time doing that because too many people know what they're up to.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a growing awareness that something is going on. In fact, I couldn't really believe it. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day, and I really enjoy Rush. He's a great entertainer. He usually doesn't tell the people much what's going on, but he made the statement, with all these new congressmen going in, why the establishment would assign staffers to their office to spy on them and watch and see what they were doing. And I mean, the fact that he's telling the people exactly the truth, this is how it works. I mean, you coming to Congress, you don't know about anything, and they assign you the people who are going to direct you and control you and report back on what you do. And even Rush Limbaugh is bringing out the truth. I'd say that is really wonderful. It's one of the most important things I've ever heard him say about how he called it the establishment. Of course, I call it the Brotherhood of Darkness. The people working behind the scenes, who really control both political parties, make mockery of the electoral process. And, of course, they rig elections with the electronic voting machines. And, of course, as Stalin says, it's not really how people vote that counts. It's who counts the votes. That's what counts. We'll be back in just a minute with Bob Chapman and invite your calls. Well, let's go to James calling from South Carolina. Hi, James. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Do you have a question or comment?
I have a theoretical question. I wonder what...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The Hong Kong Singapore Bank Corporation, HSBC, really the largest single bank in the world, and the lawsuits because they've been manipulating dishonestly and illegally the silver market in Sydney. And now there are these two separate suits, and these suits, class action suits, RICO suits, could actually could even possibly bring down J.P. Morgan Chase and certainly Hong Kong Singapore Bank Corporation. Bob, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I spent a lot of time working on this, and you're absolutely right. For those who are not aware of it, the J.P. Morgan Chase is the largest shareholder in the Federal Reserve System.
Oh, it is?
And
I thought Rockefeller Rothschild is. Okay.
Well, Rockefeller and Rothschild are two individuals. I'm talking about institutions. They may
the families that own them, though, I'm talking about. Because let me get this. Who owns J.P. Morgan Chase? Is it Rockefeller? Is it Rothschild? Rothschild has 12 brothers. I know there's a house of Rothschild. They're also on the Federal Reserve.
Well, let's just find
out. Okay,
Go ahead.
Well, I for what we're talking about, I don't think it's really important. What's important is they got a problem, and the problem is they're massively short gold and silver contracts. In fact, it's debatable whether they're short either 60% or 99% between them and HSBC of all of the silver contracts that are net short.
But isn't that legal? It's not legal.
It's not legal. You're manipulating the market, and that's, of course, against the law.
Oh, it is. Oh, right. I thought you can short stocks and stuff.
Oh, you can, but you can't have
a dominant position. Yeah, but you can't get concentration.
Right. That's what they have.
Well, they have limits, and the CFTC has not adjudicated the rules of the law, whichever you want to call it. And that's why we have the problem we have today. We have the same thing with front-running and naked shorting with the SEC. They refuse to do absolutely anything about it. It's absolute madness.
But it is against the law, Henry, and basically these cases are going to court, and if there are fair judges and fair juries, why, of course, they will simply...
One other thing, unless you are playing the answer over commercial instead of over the shortwave, I want them to answer it over the shortwave so I can hear it, and I'll go. About Germany... what is the situation with Germany and the rest of Europe, but particularly Germany, with the pressure with the EU? Because I heard a guy last night, it sounded like Steinmeier, but Steinmeier's with the Bilderberger too, right? Or he's with, connected with one of them. But the situation with the heat, as far as either the euro falling apart or one of them getting out of the EU, because they're putting pressure on France with the Roma and all this racial
What was the question, Henry?
Okay. Well, how is things going as far as the EU, as far as the heat, H-E-A-T, as far as either the German people or some political party or something want to pull out of the EU?
How is the European Union going?
It's going relatively fair to poor. I think people are sick and tired of giving up their sovereignty and having a bunch of highly paid bureaucrats in Brussels run things. But even more important, I think the euro is doomed. And, you know, they talk in Europe about a northern euro. I really don't think it's going to happen. The German people don't want a euro. They want their currency back. They want their freedom back.
Why don't they adapt Swiss laws, too, by the way? What do you think of that? If let's say, I think Germany should get the blank out of the EU. It has nothing to do with the snobbishness or nothing like that. And I think that, I think they're being hijacked because all I'm hearing about, I heard on Deutsche Welle, I'll just give an example, I heard that the government there spent, I don't know, it may not have been a lot of money, but they spent a portion amount of money on investigating the so-called Foreign Office during World War II and how some foreign diplomats or whatever in the Foreign Office under Hitler played more part in the Holocaust than what we originally thought over 40, 50 years.
I'm sure it's absolutely true. And thank you so much, Henry. And right now, let's go to John calling from Spokane. Hi, John. How are you doing? Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes. I'd heard today that the same thing probably you guys were talking about earlier, but that it was going to be 5% backed by gold. The intention is it'll be a digital currency, and that essentially once this happens, they'll do a recall on the gold from everybody who has gold. And the intent is to get to the point where everything is electronic.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and John, once again, your question?
The question is if Bob had heard about this, I think it's the same thing you were talking about earlier, where the plan is to have a world currency, that it's a digital system, all electronic, that it will be backed by gold, 5% backed by gold. The plan is there, then there'll be like a recall, they'll confiscate the gold, you won't be able to own it, this type of thing. And the intent is to get it to the point where everything is transacted via this electronic currency, and there won't be dollars, Ameros, Euros, any of this kind of stuff.
John, where did you hear about this?
Well, I first heard that it was being discussed.
Where did you hear about it?
I heard it from the son of a guy who owns a gold shop up here.
Okay, fine. Did you, Bob, what's your thought on that?
Absolutely ridiculous.
All right, that's my impression. Okay, anything else, John?
No, that's it.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Delilah, who's calling from Ohio. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Delilah. Do you have a question for Bob?
Hi, good evening. Hi, Bob and Dr. Stan. Very quickly, I just heard about the IMF, and the first thing that came into my mind was, I wonder if divine providence came into the equation here, considering that they're turning around or not. From a Christian point of view, I understand that God can take even the worst of evils and still change it for good.
All right. So,
what your impression was on my comment there.
Well, first of all, there's no question God can take evil and use it for good. But what does that have to do with what we're talking about, the financial situation?
I mean, you were saying before that they were going to take down the entire worldwide system.
Right.
Now you're saying that they're not?
I'm just saying, why are you... Suddenly I believe that they're going to take... Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Bob Chapin on the line. Before we go on, I want Bob to go ahead and put out his telephone number, tell people how they can get the copies of the International Forecaster, and Delilah, Cindy, thanks very much for calling.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 40 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And we feel that everything that you need to know is in that publication every week. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's theinternational, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com, I-N-T-int-forecaster, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com. And if you have a question, you can also email us at Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. That's Bob at intforecaster.com. Or for those of you who would like to, you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188, and get a free introductory copy.
All right, fine. And we've got George calling from Toronto. George, how are you listening to us up there?
I'm on the shortwave band listening to you.
All right, very good. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yeah, Bob, on a show earlier today, you said if they do back a currency, whether it be U.S. or a world currency, with gold, that within a few days after that announcement, price of gold could likely double. Would you consider that the topping out price of gold? And if not, what would bring the price either higher?
Well, first of all, it's so hard to make a call on where gold is eventually going. If you use real inflation since 1980 and you use the formula that they used to use, you'll find that gold should be $7,700 an ounce. And I said that if it got to $3,000 and they announced that they would base the gold price for nations that held gold as backing for their currencies, probably somewhere around $6,000 an ounce. Why that figure? Simply because we know intrinsically it's worth $7,700, and how much inflation are we going to have between now and then? I mean, the figure could be higher, and that doesn't mean that the free market in gold will sell for $500 or $700. We don't know. In all likelihood, it'll go to a premium. How much remains to be seen. It could be $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, and it all depends on world events. And there's just many things. And will they try to use a new currency that they've dreamt up? They can't use the SDR unless they change the rules, because it specifically says in the IMF charter, in the creation of the SDR, that they can't use gold. They would have to change that or go to something that Keynes called the Bancor, which would be somewhat similar. And would they use it internationally? I don't think so. It'll probably be used for trade, or they could use a combination of 5 major currencies or 50 major currencies in an index, all backed by the same amount of gold individually. There's all kinds of permutations that you could use here. So gold's going higher. How much? We really don't know, but it's going higher.
And I think you sort of pay your money and take your chances. We're just going to have to wait and see how things play out, George. Anything else you'd like to ask?
Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Stan. God bless.
God bless you, too. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for Bob. But we are living, certainly, in very, very difficult times. Now, really, one of the interesting things is that a lot of our major banks, and I'm talking about J.P. Morgan Chase, certainly Bank of America, Citigroup, have been foreclosing on homes that they did not have a legal right to foreclose on because, of course, they did not have a legitimate right to that. And they hired people to falsify records. They called it robo-signing. And they would simply write that we know that J.P. Morgan Chase has a right to this home when they didn't know that. And the same thing is true with Bank of America. And some of the state attorney generals are saying you are guilty of fraud. I mean, you are trying to defraud these people from their homes. Now, maybe the people had a significant loan on their home, But the bank that held the mortgage couldn't verify it because of this phony system that they'd created. And it looks to me like, you know, if the attorney generals, and I think a lot of them do have the courage, a lot of the attorney generals are going to bring lawsuits of fraud and certainly trying to steal the homes against, and we're talking about millions and millions of homes, because there are probably at least 4 million homes that are in some stage of foreclosure. They're not all to the final stage, but I mean, certainly the well over a million homes are certainly going down this line. Certainly, we lost 900,000 homes. 900,000 people lost their homes last year. 528,000 lost their homes the first 6 months of this year. And certainly, there are well, certainly, half a million to a million homes that are in foreclosure. And a lot of this has all been fraudulent. And there could be very serious complications and consequences for these banks that have been actively engaged in fraud if the district attorneys, the state attorney generals, have the courage to take them to court. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
I think it... The fraud is so vast, it's mind-boggling. And the bankers are meeting separately with the legislators, the attorney generals, I should say, and they're trying to make a deal. You know, let's settle the whole thing and we'll put up $20 billion or something like that. And that's a figure I just dreamt up out of my head. But the point is, they're going to try to wiggle out of this thing and say, oh, gee, we really didn't realize that these people were unqualified and they should have been doing that, and we won't do it again. Well, how about all the people that get thrown out of their homes and are going to get thrown out of their homes? And that's dreadful. And all the money these people have made. I mean, we're talking about lawsuits that are going to be in the trillions of dollars. It could very well take the whole system down. And really, well, it should. And the main people that should be taken down are the banks and the brokerage houses who are involved all the way from loan qualification through securitization at the other end. And, you know, even brokers stand liable under this situation. And so they've got to take it from one end to the other. They have to give everybody their money back. They got to make them whole. They got to stop the system. And they got to put these banks out of business. And they got to put these people in jail.
And I think
they
so.
Knew exactly what they were doing.
Of course they did. But the thing is that this new legislation, this Dodd bill that they just put through, gets them an out-of-jail-free card. And it says that no matter what happens, they're too big to fail, and the taxpayers are going to suddenly get them out. In other words, you've got to finance all of their follies and all of the dishonesty. And the only thing that we could really do is put them in prison, and then they couldn't go along with this sort of thing. They bought the congressman to pass this legislation that says the banks are too big to fail, and so we will bail them out. And that's just crooked legislation. I do hope the Republican Congress has the courage to take a stand. And I will say one thing for our Barack Obama. I disagree with on many things, but there was legislation, the banks got passed by both houses, both the House and the Senate, that said that all of these issues, as far as the legality of the loans that they had, the mortgages, we would just simply ignore that. And when the bank wanted to foreclose, they could foreclose. Whether the paperwork was right or not didn't matter. And Barack Obama, under tremendous pressure, did not give in, and he did not pass that legislation. He refused to sign the legislation, and the bankers were furious with him. You know, because, of course, they were going to end up, you know, with all of these homes. And this is how the system really works. You get people in debt, you know, you get them, you know, they buy homes, you know, and they're making their payments. And then the banks contract the money supply after everybody is in debt and everybody's head over heels in debt. And they contract the availability of money to loan. And the people can't borrow money to pay off their debts. They don't have a job because, of course, the economy contracts. And what happens? The banks end up with all the homes and all the farms and all the businesses and certainly all the commercial developments. That's how the game is played. And right now, though, things are not going quite as well for the banks because a lot of the pension funds and the annuities and the insurance companies that bought these fraudulent collateralized debt obligations, bundled mortgages, now are saying, you defrauded us, you've got to buy them back, and you've got to pay us, you know, back the money we gave you, and they may be only worth 50 cents on the dollar. That's got to create real problems. That's why the banks got the Dodd legislation through that says they're too big to fail, and so the taxpayers are going to bail them out. Do you think the taxpayers will bail them out, Bob?
I'm very skeptical. This could be a shattering event. We've got six major economists, Joe Stiglitz, James Galbraith, I forget who the others are. I had an article on it today. And they're saying these people are criminals. They should go to jail.
And I agree with that.
I mean, I was absolutely stunned. I think what is happening, you're seeing these people who have been subjects of the Brotherhood of Darkness coming out from behind the door or from under their rocks. And they're saying, ah, here's our opportunity. We lived off you for the last 30 or 40 or 50 years, and now we're going to stick it to you. You should all be in jail because you're a bunch of crooks. And that's really what they're saying. And they're coming right out and saying it. There's going to be massive changes in our society. The banks are going to go down. The public is not going to pay for this.
I sure hope so. Well, let's go quickly to Joan, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene, has been hanging on patiently. Hi, Joan. How are you doing? How are you listening to us?
Radio.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
I just wondered, there was a man, George, and the man before him, I believe, said something about a world currency backed by gold and what somebody said, the insiders, and that they could confiscate it.
Well, basically, I tried to pin him down because his story didn't sound valid to me. And he said, well, it was somebody who worked in a coin shop. Now, nobody at a coin shop is going to tell you that they're going to come in and confiscate your gold.
No.
So basically, what did you think of that, Bob?
I didn't believe the story.
I don't know the
mission that this person was on. It's just like every time I'm on, we have Bill Still dogging me, you know, trying to get me to debate him, and I'm not going to do it. I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. Let him go play his game someplace else. And you have people planting things on programs and in order to get people fearful, the sensationalizing that goes on just by newsletter writers and coin dealers especially. It's absolutely dreadful.
All right, now, we don't know. The man, somebody may have told him this. I think it's totally fallacious, but there is an effort to, oh, my goodness, they're going to collect your gold. Don't bother to buy gold because they're going to confiscate it.
Yeah.
And if they can frighten you into not getting it, then, of course, you're going to leave your money in the bank, and you're going to lose it.
So you think that, you know, that they might not, or they could.
I think there's a very good chance that they will not, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
God bless.
Well,
again,
God bless.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And ladies and gentlemen, I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and there are people constantly calling in with disinformation. And this gentleman who called in may very well have been told a story that wasn't true. He may have simply been given false information, but certainly I think Bob was absolutely correct when he said, I don't believe it. And let's go to Tony. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, good, Dr. Stan. Always good to hear your program.
Well, it's always good to hear from you, Tony. Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment? Tony used to be a producer here. He used to help us over here at the station.
Well, I've been supporting you for about 20 years now.
I know you have, and we appreciate it.
Any way I can. I've got a question and a comment. My only comment on this thing about confiscation is that when Roosevelt did that, I think it was H.R. 192, whatever it was, to confiscate gold, they didn't really confiscate it. People turned it in. The government never went around door to door and said, turn your gold in. You know, they left it up to the individual. You know, you didn't have to comply with it if you didn't want to.
And most of the people didn't, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Only one person was prosecuted, and they only get 25% of the gold.
Yeah, but my question has to do with a little bit different with our illustrious leader in the White House. Everybody's saying, well, what's he going to do now that he's lost this, Congress, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And, is he going to turn to the center? Is he going to, do this, do that? Well, the first thing I thought of was what he told his cousin Odinga to do in Kenya when Odinga lost the presidential election in Kenya. And he was on the phone all the time when he was campaigning, calling up, Raul Odinga there, telling him what to do. Once he lost the election, because people didn't like him. And so what Odinga did was he turned all his thugs loose. And they went out and they burnt down churches with people in them. They caused mass chaos. There was, went and just beat people up and did all kinds of horrible things until the people were finally so terrified. Odinga ended up splitting the presidency. So he got appointed by thuggery and, and I'm thinking like, okay, this thing with the quantitative easing, they announced the day after the election.
What was the question, Tony?
My question is do you think that it's possible that I can't even say this guy's name, Obama, is going to resort to thuggery and using the Federal Reserve to do it?
You remember, Tony, Obama does not control the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve controls Obama. What are your thoughts on Tony's question, Bob?
I don't think he'll do it unilaterally. If he's told to do it, he will. But the last thing I think that the insiders want is revolution of any kind or conduct like that, because if they lose, they're wiped out. It's not a good bet for them.
And I think, Tony, if President Obama does not do what he is told, they'll send him to Dallas. I mean, these people are ruthless. They've killed other presidents. I've talked to a number of presidential, number of assassins. One of them was commissioned to kill Ross Perot. If you want to hear that four-tape set, no, Obama will do what he's told to do.
Well, if he does what I tell him to do, he'll go back to Kenya where he came from.
All right. Thanks. So, thanks.
You guys have a good night.
Good night, Tony. And let's go to we have a woman named Barbara calling from Santa Cruz. Hello, Barbara.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
Coins with the idea that they are non-confiscatable is probably a ruse to get more money out of you.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the commemoratives are the same way.
Okay.
They're worth melt. If you sell them, you sell them behind melt, which is a spot price.
Mm-hmm.
And so you stick to gold and silver, bullion coins, and if you want to get fancy, you buy mint state graded coins, which are a special item, and historically they've done very well. And leave it at that, and that's what I do.
But in the long run, is it going to make any difference if times really get tough and you have to use these, is it going to really make any difference at all as to what, you know?
I think you're going to be selling it for the value of the gold. That's what it is.
So, yeah. I mean, you're
yeah,
you're,
I think generally speaking, that's true.
Okay, fine. Okay. Thank you very much, Barbie. And let's go to Terry, who's calling from Santa Ana. Hi, Terry. Do you have a quick question? We're almost out of time.
Yes, I understand. I was just wondering if Bob recommended any banks at all, since they all seem to be having a problem, even some of the ones that I thought weren't.
Now, what is that now?
I wondered if Bob had any banks he was recommending at all, since they all seem to be having a problem.
Oh, do you have any banks that think are safe, that people would be safe putting their money in, Bob?
I mean, a community bank, is that safer?
Bob? Bob, are you there? Oh, we may have lost Bob. Bob, are you there? I'm afraid, Terry, that Bob has disappeared. He's run off on us. So you'll have to call in next week. But certainly I would stay out of the large banks. I would try to get a local bank rather than a large bank. Okay?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you would like to help us, it's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you want to understand who's really behind everything, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand the Federal Reserve System, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and or my talk on the financial Armageddon, which comes with a syllabus. And this is all contrived. There's a small group of wicked people who control the banking system. We used to have 12 major banks. We're down to 6 now, and they'll probably just be picking one another off. They are certainly owned by people all tied into the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, the 6 major banks, and 3 of the major banks are associated with the Trilateral Commission. There are only 85 people there, but they pretty well control the mass media. They control the major banks, the major corporations. They control the military, and they control the government. And they surround Barack Obama. There's 87 members of the Trilateral Commission, North American chapter, and at least 11 or 12 of them surround Barack Obama today. Do you really think that's by accident? You need to get the DVD, The Trilateral Commission, Pat Wood. And then we have so much other great information that we certainly recommend Bill Still's book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, Lynn Marzulli's Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, and Tom Horn, Apollyon Rising 2012. Apollyon Rising 2012. Let me suggest my talk on the planned police state and on planned population reduction. And, of course, the planned police state comes with a syllabus. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. And those of you who don't know Barry, he's an Sydney and an Israeli citizen who spent 30 years over in Israel as an investigative reporter. And he reported on the assassination of Rabin. And, of course, he was assassinated by the government itself, by the Shabbat, the Secret Service. And Sidney Barry, because of his persistence and because of excellent information, was able to convince almost half of the religious Jews that what had really happened, that the government story was simply a cover story to conceal the truth about the murder of Rabin. And, of course, Barry uncovered a number of other plots and dishonest actions there by the government. And then, of course, came the threats against his life and efforts to kill him. So he was forced to flee. And he's living here in the United States. Israel's loss is our gain. Barry certainly writes his internet blogs, and they're read throughout Israel today. But he also, of course, gives talks here in America and appears on a regular basis here at Radio Liberty, so we can keep abreast of what's going on in Israel. Because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, what happens in Israel down the line is going to have an important impact upon what happens here in the United States. Barry, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to, as always.
Well, tell us what your thoughts are and what's going on over there at the present time, and what about this meeting of the Mediterranean Union that's coming up that we never hear about here in America?
Yeah, we'll get it all in there, I guess. I'm just going to tell you what is kind of big news in Israel, and probably isn't here, but we'll begin with truly a wacky new solution for peace in the Middle East. Now, originally, the Israeli press said that it was Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to convince the American administration, he's going to offer to lease, to give up East Jerusalem and the Jordan Valley, and he will lease lands from the Palestinian state. Now, it turns out this stupid idea, we'll go into it shortly, it's all the Obama administration's idea, and the fact that Netanyahu proposed it is a bunch of hooey. It's the Obama administration, and that is now aired out and pretty thoroughly that this is what they're trying to press on Israel. Now, just so you understand, you're talking about Jerusalem giving up, well, Israel giving up East Jerusalem. I hear the music already.
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
All right. You're talking about Israel giving up East Jerusalem and the Jordan Valley to the Palestinians. And to solve the problem, the Palestinians would just lease it back to Israel. Now, the first problem is, how long is this lease going to last? The Obama administration wants it for 7 years. And then 7 years later, East Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. Same with the Jordan Valley.
Why don't they give them Tel Aviv, too, and then they could lease that back for 7 years? We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamus. I agree, Barry, it's crazy. Go right ahead, Barry.
Oh, that was quick. Yeah. Now, look, the first problem is it was just viewed as a total slap in the face by all Israelis from the entire political spectrum. This is such a, well, it's just not a real plan, first of all. Grown people don't even talk about giving up your country and then leasing it back. I mean, it's absurd, all right? Either Israel's a country or not a country, but to give up East Jerusalem, well, Netanyahu supposedly called for a 99-year lease on East Jerusalem and a 40-year lease on the Jordan Valley. And the Obama administration felt that was ridiculous. They want a maximum of 7 years for both of them. And meanwhile, the Israelis are just saying, even if Netanyahu gets the 99-year lease, the new owners, the Palestinian state, could cancel the agreement over anything at any time. In short, it's hard to believe that grown men are coming up with this kind of diplomacy. But it gets worse. Really, in a way, it's been a truly good week for really low, low, low diplomacy. The Obama administration, I guess you can expect it from, but then Netanyahu got out of... Now, I explained, and we'll talk about the Mediterranean Union shortly. I'll bet they cancel it. They're not getting cooperation from anybody now. I'll bet you anything they cancel it or delay it. And I'm going to give you a few examples of everything going wrong with this Mediterranean Union. Now, it turns out that there was going to be a big, big meeting in Paris on October 21st. With Sarkozy and Netanyahu and Abbas and Mubarak and Hillary Clinton, and this was all in preparation for the Mediterranean Union meeting a month later. But Netanyahu said he's not going, he canceled. Now, what's going on here is, again, Israel really suddenly... really opposing this Mediterranean Union is what's going on.
Hold that thought now, Barry. We'll be back in just a moment with all of our stations here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply talking about these foolish negotiations. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is all political theater. And, of course, Netanyahu is under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations. Basically, the people who run Israel are under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations. But then so is our own State Department and American foreign policy. And Hillary Clinton, in fact, she gave a speech not too long ago saying how glad she was that CFR had opened a branch right close to the State Department so she could get their advice on a regular basis. You'll see this up on the Internet, on YouTube, or Hillary Clinton saying she's so glad the Council on Foreign Relations is close. Well, anyway, they've come up with a plan that Israel is going to give, certainly, the Eastern Jerusalem Jordan Valley to the Palestinians, and then they're going to lease it back for 7 years. And, of course, Netanyahu put this up, but he doesn't believe in this. He's just doing what he's told to do. But now, of course, they want to have this meeting of the Mediterranean Union. You're not hearing anything about it in the American media. It's well known in the European press, but then we get very little real news here. But the important thing is why nobody really thinks very much about the Mediterranean Union, and certainly the Israelis are not going to have the Mediterranean Union made up of foreigners determine their foreign and domestic policies. You pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, I'm not sure that Israel's under tremendous pressure right now, but what happened is that before this October meeting in Paris, Netanyahu was had a little exchange on the phone with Sarkozy, and Sarkozy, well, the word is asked, I imagine it's demanded, that Netanyahu extend the settlement freeze in the West Bank so his talks would be a big success.
For people who don't know, Sarkozy is the Prime Minister of France, and he's certainly an internationalist. Go right ahead.
Well, actually, he's President of France.
All right, fine. President of France.
Right. Now, neither here nor there, Netanyahu turned him down flat. And apparently, after this conversation, now, again, I'm getting a third hand. I wasn't in the room, but Netanyahu, and here's the quote, from a diplomat, Netanyahu realized that he would come under intense pressure on the settlements, and he decided to not show up at Sarkozy's October 20th meeting, well, as I said, a month before the Mediterranean Union talks in Barcelona. Now, it isn't just Netanyahu who's turning down, well, I'd say the European diplomats, for lack of a better term. I mean, the Mediterranean Union, remember that Egypt and France are the co-chairmen of the Mediterranean Union to be held in Spain. The Pope was supposed to be arriving and would have had, well, he's the last person you want sanctioning anything to do with Israel or the Jews is this Nazi Pope. But that's what the conference was going to be. And look, it has not been officially canceled. I'll put money that is delayed or canceled. Another major hint was that the Spanish and the French sent their foreign ministers to Israel, Martinez and Kuchar. Probably Cousset, whatever, Bernard Kuchar. That's how it's spelt anyways. And they met with Israel's foreign minister, Lieberman, and he told them to butt out. He said, you can't solve your own problems, stay away from ours. And, you know, from the level of foreign ministers, well, that's just a straight rejection of what they're planning to do in Barcelona in November. We are certain that Netanyahu smells a rat, and he canceled his meeting with Sarkozy and gang. Lieberman told the foreign ministers they can't even solve their own problems. Leave us alone. I say that there is an understanding that the Barcelona conference was going to be totally destructive to Israel, and I'm using very mild terms. It was a trap. We speak as if it had taken place. Remember, it's still supposed to take place, but I have repeated myself. I don't see how it can take place when Israel is really not cooperating. Now, another thing happened this week, which, again, this is not the diplomacy you're hearing about, but you're getting it anyways. That's what I'm good at. You may not have known that there was a parliamentary assembly of the Mediterranean. this is all, you know, a subcontract of the Mediterranean Union. They have their own parliamentary assembly. Now, it was supposed to open, well, last Friday in Morocco. But Israel said that unless its candidate was chosen as vice president of the parliamentary assembly, well, they're just not going to show up. Now, again, I don't know what's really going on with this, but a member of Knesset, Rivlin, threatened to pull the Israeli delegation. Now, get this, Israel chose as its representative to the Mediterranean Parliamentary Assembly a Druze member of parliament, Majali Wahabi. Why, if they're taking this seriously, why would they do that? Why would they send a Druze, and a barely known Druze, to this parliament if they were really serious and it was really high level and the, and well, if the stakes were really the country, they would send a Jew. If Israel, let's put it this way, they sent an insult. This is my interpretation, but it doesn't matter. It was either an insult or a compromise that the assembly would accept as its vice president was a Druze member of parliament. Whatever. The Mediterranean Union now has a parliamentary assembly with a non-Jewish vice president sitting at, well, he's not the president, he's just a vice president, but nonetheless, there is this assembly underneath the Mediterranean Union. Now, what they do, I mean, who knows what they do, really?
Well, some of these organizations, you meet, you eat, you talk, and then you go home.
Why is there a parliamentary assembly of the Mediterranean?
Why is there a parliament? Why is there a Mediterranean Union? It doesn't make any sense, you know. Most of these countries in the north are part of NATO, part of Europe. Those on the south are part of Africa. So why are they getting together, and what are they talking about, and why are they trying to solve the problems of Israel when they can't solve their own problem?
Somebody made up a new diplomacy, and somebody spent a lot of money to get this Barcelona conference to make peace in the Middle East, and it's not working. Look, these are mad. It's just like leasing Jerusalem from the Palestinians. That's insane, all right? Let's cut to the chase right now. That is nothing but saying Israel doesn't exist, and you can rent some land from the rightful owner of the Palestinians. This isn't diplomacy. It's as if Israelis don't exist. And excuse me. As for the Mediterranean Union, it didn't exist 2 years ago. What exactly are the United over? And what is the Parliament of the Mediterranean Union meeting to discuss? There's no government, there's no army, supposedly. And yet, this is the peace process diplomacy right now in the Middle East is this Mediterranean Union and this Mediterranean Parliament. And Israel is now backing out. By the way, the Palestinians, if Israel backs out, the Palestinians will back out automatically because they can't get anything except from Israelis. So they're gone. The whole thing could crumble because Israel seems to have woken up to the machinations and feels strong enough to oppose them, which is really a rare bit of governmental courage, if I'm interpreting this right. Mind you, remember, if it's true that Netanyahu was going along with this leasing plan, then I take it all back. But Israel seems to be fighting the machinations of this Mediterranean Union.
Well, I'm glad for that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Probably this will go away. It's what is so interesting to me that we just start reading about it. I read the New York Times on a daily basis and several other major newspapers. I haven't heard much about it. I wonder how many of our listeners have heard much about it. I think that obviously many things go on in the world. The average American has no idea what's happening. So anyway, I certainly hope this dies a natural death. Certainly the last thing that Israel wants to do is turn Eastern Europe over to the Palestinians.
Eastern
Jerusalem and turn over the Jordan Valley. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1 ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Anyway, some filmmakers went over there, and who do you think was chopping down the olive trees? It was the Arabs, and they were trying to blame it on the Israelis to create an incident, and they got the goods on them. They had the films of it. Well, then, of course, there comes up a gentleman named Mr. Seri. And is that Robert Seri?
His name is Robert Seri.
So go ahead with the story.
United Nations Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process.
Go right ahead.
That's a mighty good title, but he was in Israel, and naturally he goes straight to Ramallah and the Palestinians. Now, the first thing he did was he announced, well, he went with Palestinian Prime Minister Fayyad on a little tour of the area, and Fayyad said that settlers had destroyed hundreds of trees in the village, in one little village, in recent weeks. I'll tell you the name of Tormos. The village of Tormos Aya, north of Ramallah. So Seri goes with Fayyad. Fayyad tells the world that in one tiny little village, hundreds of trees have been chopped down in just the past few weeks. Look, when the Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority can lie with just such a blatant lie, and no one points it out. Where are the stumps? Where are the trees? Somebody should have said, show me where the trees have been chopped down. I'll take pictures of the stumps. Well, no trees have been chopped down, and it's an utter lie. But Seri apparently believes it, because he joined the Palestinians beginning, well, he probably did it for 5 minutes. He joined them harvesting olives, all right? This is the United Nations is joining the Palestinians in their crusade to protect their olives against settlers. Now, it gets worse. Why does it get worse? Seri spoke to journalists after his olive-picking day with Fayyad, and he said that he is furious that work had begun on hundreds of new homes for the settlers since the settlement freeze was lifted. Number one, it's none of his business. The settlements aren't expanding. This is within the settlements. There's no illegality, but the reports from the Jews tell a very, very different picture. The settlers are furious that Ehud Barak, Israel's defense minister, he has to give authority for building permits to go through, and he's not giving that authority on 4,300 apartments that have been bought and paid for before the freeze. They are not being built. Look, there's so much, so many lies in such a short period of time here. I'm just going to go and tell you what UNESCO did, just to let you know what the United Nations is up to. UNESCO, that's, needless to say, United Nations something, whatever it is, UNESCO has the authority somehow to declare tourist sites World Heritage Sites. And they, this week, have declared that the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron and Rachel's Tomb between Jerusalem and Bethlehem are mosques. They are now officially mosques. I'll bet you didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't know it. I think that would really irritate the Israelis. I mean, these are holy sites to both these Muslims and the Israelis.
And they're not mosques.
They're not mosques.
All right. look, what you've got with the United Nations, I don't know if somebody is allowed to live a lie. Every word that comes out of their mouth, but you've got their special coordinator for peace. Well, I hear the music. Am I wrong? Dr. Stan?
Yeah, our guest is Barry Shamish. And we're talking about what's going on over in Israel. We're talking about all the efforts to discredit the Israelis. Anything of sort of an incident they can create. And we'll be back in just a moment with Barry. But this is a very, very dangerous community at the present time. Well, Barry, you go right ahead.
I was just, look, what I pointed out with the United Nations are just simple, bald-faced lies. And that's what they're up to. And again, the settlers, they don't chop down all the trees. It's a lie. It's not even a question, prove it. Somehow, when the United Nations can call Rachel's tomb a mosque, and when Sari can talk about trees being chopped down by settlers, oh, nothing but nothing is truthful. It's a concept that is only made possible by the Israeli government playing ball with these people in some way.
Well, if the Israeli's government, I believe, and certainly you've expressed the opinion in the past, the Israeli government's pretty well controlled by the CFR, and they're really pulling the strings, and Netanyahu and the others are going right along with them between the CFR and the Vatican. But go right ahead.
Oh, now, the big player here, when it comes to Barcelona, the big player is the Pope. Now, the CFR is certainly playing ball with all this, but the Mediterranean Union is a Vatican all-Catholic union with five Mediterranean states, all-Catholic, of course, backed by the EU. But no, this is Paris and the Vatican. Look, you know, there was a very interesting event that took place in Israel, and I just can't believe that it took so long for someone to open their mouth. The head of military intelligence resigned this week, but he gave, what a speech he gave. He said the next war, Israel, literally, he said, is screwed. I mean, he said we face many more civilian casualties, and it's going to be a rocket war, and if they all shoot rockets at the same time...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Barry Shamish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry was just saying that a high-ranking Israeli official recently resigned and said, gave a farewell speech, and what he said, the next war is going to be devastating for Israel. It's going to be a rocket war. There are going to be heavy Israeli civilian casualties. Now, who was giving the speech, Barry?
Head of military intelligence, and I'm going to have to apologize. His name slips me.
Well, that's all right. It happens as you get older. I have the same problem. Go right ahead.
Well, by the way, if you want to Google it, just write, head of Israeli military intelligence resigns. That should get you to the story. But what he said is, I mean, why is he the first one to say this? I've been saying it for 5 years now, that the next war, Israel, if the enemies all collaborate and they shoot their rockets off at the same time, that the figures are incredible. He talks about 16,000 Israeli casualties in this war, 200,000 homeless, 100,000 just taking off and leaving the country, and he said that's a minimal prediction. Finally, you know, I can't believe that the Israelis have buried their head in the sand for so long about the upcoming war. It's going to be a terrible, terrible experience, which Israel, well, if it's not just devastated but still standing, could actually lose. Well, for the first time this week, a high-ranking military official told the truth, and who knows why he told the truth. It seems to be a national secret that we can handle anything. I'm not sure. Again, I've expressed this in the past. You can't knock down rockets. Okay? That's simple. You can only go on the offense and hope the offense knocks them out in a mighty big hurry. But if they have the time on the first day or two of the war, they can launch 20, 30,000 missiles at Israel. And it'll be devastating. There'll be no power. There'll be no ambulances. 10,000 missiles hit Tel Aviv on the same day. Imagine that.
I can imagine it, Barry, and I share your concern. I think it'll be catastrophic, and I think that if God doesn't intervene, there's going to be terrible, terrible casualties over there and terrible destruction. And I really feel that it's fairly imminent. I don't know when it's coming, but I suspect it'll be sometime within the next year. We'll just have to wait and see and hope and pray that I'm wrong.
I don't think you are. Look, war against Israel is a common thing. It's about once every 8 years or so. You get a war 48 to 56, 56 to 67, 67, 73, and so on. It's inevitable. But this is a war that's different because the weapons used against Israel have no, there is no defense. They talk about an aero anti-missile shield. I was a missile operator. Now, admittedly, in my day, they used Patriots. The anti-aircraft unit, which I was a member of, some of my comrades went and used Patriots, which made the situation worse. They just, at their best, they deflected a missile off course a bit, and that's it. You can't stop missiles you can't do it. And this is the next war that Israel faces. And well, look, I'm going to do a separate thing that happened in Israel thing. It's also a major, major story in Israel.
Well, that was Amos Yadlin was the fellow who resigned.
Yes, it was.
Right. I knew him well. Go right ahead.
You found the story, huh?
I did, right.
Did you find Robert Sherry?
Yes, I did, but he wasn't a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, but he certainly is one of our better diplomats who we be depended upon to be anti-Israel. But go right ahead.
Well, I'm glad to direct you in these unknown areas.
Well, Barry, that's why we have you on, because this is your field of expertise. You offer information we will not get elsewhere. And certainly this gentleman did, he addressed the Knesset, and he basically said just what you said. The next war is coming, and it's going to be devastating for Israel. And there's really no defense against the missiles, and there'll be a tremendous Israeli casualty. So you go right ahead.
Well, I've only been saying that for 5 years. As far as I know, he's the first person to tell the truth. Okay? General Yadin. Now, there's a city in northern Israel called Sfat. It's a very ancient Kabbalistic center. Well, I'm not going to say who Luria, Rabbi Luria was in the 16th century. but he made Spot the leading center for Kabbalistic thinking. And it's a very nice town, high in the Galilee hills, and it's mostly Orthodox, except the mayor brought in a medical school. And, well, it turns out that the medical school is about half Arab. And suddenly, Tzfat has got suddenly a Jewish town, an Orthodox Jewish town, has got a tremendous contingent of young Arab men, and there have been riots. These Orthodox, you listen to their claims about how ugly and vicious the town has become since this medical school arrived and the Arabs arrived. Look, when the day comes that you can move a bunch of Jewish students into Ramallah without riots, you can talk about the Tzfat riots. The Israelis will fill their, again, most Orthodox. Tzfat is such an important Orthodox center, and they're mucking it up. They're mucking up the population by bringing in hundreds of Arabs to learn at this medical school. I believe the figure is hundreds. But it's enough that there was a major, major riot this week where the Jews attacked. Where were they staying? It was some sort of dormitory where the Arabs were staying. There was gunshot. Nobody was hurt. But it was made a mighty big splash in Israel, this story. A first-class race riot, but this one started by the Jews. That's never happened before. There have been plenty of riots in Israel, but they've always been started by the Arabs. For the first time, I'm trying to think, has there been a Jewish riot against Arabs before? And I can't think of one. Again, watch for the city of Tzfat. It's exploding. It's actually exploding. What it all means, I don't know.
Well,
all
I think I think there's increasing racial tension, you know, in Israel. I know we have friends who live there who tell me that, you know, there have been lots of riots by the Arabs at various times over in the Arab sections of Jerusalem. We don't hear about it here, but there's been a lot of violence and a lot of hard feelings and a lot of people injured in some of these riots. And certainly, I know that initially some of them weren't put down. Eventually, the police had to move in and put them down. But certainly, the Arabs would, they're going ahead and burning cars and burning shops and breaking windows and doing things of that sort. In Israel, unfortunately, because of the hatred between the racial groups over there, we have all this fodder for all sorts of problems. And I don't know what the solution is other than, brotherly love, one group for another. And we're not going to see it probably in my lifetime.
Israelis cannot be persuaded to form an angry mob and attack Arabs. It's just not in the personality of the country to do that. Well, it happened. Just keep that in mind. Keep the city of Tzfat in mind. It looks like this could be a trend that will actually spread. Now, how much time do I have?
Oh, you got about, 12, about 10 minutes.
All right. First of all, let me do my plug.
You go right ahead. You tell people how to get to your books, your DVDs, and how to get to your PayPal button.
Yeah. My latest book is The Compromised Land, but all my books are up at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. And write in my name, and you'll see a search box. My name is Chamish. That's how you spell Chamish. And the books, again, for $5, you can download any book. A little more to be sent to your house, but you can download a book for $5. My website is barrychamish.com, And at the bottom of the page one, you will see a PayPal button. And if you care, and actually I don't get a lot, but I have had a few people who have contributed, and I'm grateful to them all, you'll see a PayPal button. If you so desire, I will gladly show my gratitude to you with a surprise package in the mail of DVDs. And if you want to hear me speak, or if you want to buy the DVDs, Lulu doesn't have them, the number is 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079.
All right, Barry, you've got about 6 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, all right. I was going to talk about Britain recognizing the nation of Palestine in an official, it was a free trade. It was a minor little incident in the free trade law, but they recognized the nation of Palestine. Again, Spain did the same thing, 2 weeks ago. The pressure on Israel is mounting from every point of view. But again, a lot of it is because the government itself in Israel has not been honest with its people. By the way, the Rabin assassination passed very quietly this year in Israel, and it was supposed to be a 50th anniversary extravaganza. But I sent my stuff out, and a lot of people got it. And the extravaganza was very, very muted. But I want to talk about one little story from the Rabin, my Rabin research that I've always found, never had an answer for it, but I'm going to give you a fact that you can ponder over. According to Leah Rabin, she wrote an autobiography. Her husband was in Dallas on November 22nd of 1963. Again, this is not a well-traveled man. Nobody goes to Dallas as a tourist. That's not what someone from Israel does, is gets on a plane and goes to Dallas. And, of course, the coincidence. Now, here is the coincidence that I've read over and over. Jack Ruby, in the Dallas police station, the night before he shot Lee Harvey Oswald, met at the Dallas police station with a group of Israelis. And no one has really explained that. I've heard they were journalists. That's about the only explanation, the only cover story I've been given. Israeli journalists I've read. The fact is that Yitzhak Rabin being in Dallas on November 22nd leads me to suspect that in some way he put the squeeze on Jack Ruby. Now, this is, fairly conspiratorial, and I don't, again, I'm not sure what it means. What do you think it means?
I don't know. I mean, I really, really believe that the reason that Jack Ruby, killed the president was, it comes from a book called Double Cross by Chuck
Jack Ruby killed Oswald.
Jack Ruby killed Oswald. That Jack Ruby killed Oswald was because he had was part of the mafia, and Sam Giancana had told him he and his family would be tortured to death if he didn't do it. I don't believe he was doing this for Israel. I don't think Israel had any advantage in killing Kennedy. So
the
basically,
Kennedy assassination was not Israeli.
Of course, it wasn't, and basically it was a CIA operation. And I believe that Jack Ruby was just carrying out the orders. He knew he would be killed, tortured to death, if he didn't do it. So when you get an offer from the mafia, it's an offer you can't refuse.
What worries me is this mafia, and I'm not saying this lightly, might have had Israeli ties to a government which in itself has turned, is a mafia. I don't know how long this has been going on, but Rabin was killed off in a mafia hit. I cannot describe it any other way. The mafia hitman is now the president of Israel. A lot of Israel's troubles were from a government that was offering services that, again, the people would not have approved of.
Well, here's my personal view, Barry, is that there is a satanic world movement, and certainly the CIA works with it, and the CFR, and the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, and there certainly it extends into all religions, whether it be Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish, and I'm sure there are people at the highest levels of the Jewish religion who are involved in this. So we can't necessarily all tie everything together, but I don't believe that the Israel wanted to kill John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
No, but Israel could offer certain talents.
Well, maybe that's
all
why
Israel is offering talents all through Africa. They've stirred up nations. They've been behind all kinds of baloney.
Sure.
What worries me is that talent was in the form of Yitzhak Rabin on November 22nd of 63.
Right, and of course, but then remember, of course, he himself was killed by the same sort of an assassination that's killed John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So when you work with these evil people, why, you never know when your time is going to be coming.
And do we have another break, or is this it?
Oh, no, we've got 3 minutes more after this break. Go right ahead.
Well, I want to tell you then the other story, which occasionally I'll do. And that's John Kennedy Jr.
All right, fine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish. Go right ahead.
One of the big shocks in trying to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Everybody's really studied it, knows that he was assassinated. Lots of reasons given. Certainly, some people think he was going to run for the presidency. He might very well have won and then reopened the case of what happened to his father. He certainly was putting out information on the Council on Foreign Relations. He did some great interviews on the CFR. He did some great interviews. He was going to do an interview on the assassination of Rabin. There are a lot of very, very strange things about his death. Barry, we'll never know, or maybe you'll track the story down for us. Some evening, would you like to do the story of the strange death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr.?
You know, no publisher would accept my thesis.
I know they wouldn't, but Chris, we're not a publisher. We'd love to hear your stories. We're out of time. God bless, and thanks very much for being with us. Look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, fine, but I think this is certainly an important story. We've analyzed this, and there's enough information out there. You want to say, oh, is there a conspiracy behind everything? Well, there are an awful lot of conspiracies out there, and there are an awful lot of people have died. And we've actually interviewed a couple of CIA assassins. We have a great four-tape set called Deadly Assassins, and we'll actually hear my interview with the man who tracked down the man who was killed, who was paid to kill General Patton. And we even have the book on the Patton, who killed Patton, and or the death of Patton, this murder of Patton. Certainly we have the four-tape set. We have a four-tape set on them, how they killed Martin Luther King. Fascinating four-tape set. It's all people who attended the trial. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there was a trial, and it was aimed at proving that James Earl Ray was innocent. It was actually sponsored by the Martin Luther King family. They didn't believe James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King. They knew it was a CIA operation. And at the end of the trial, after 4 weeks with 50 witnesses, and Mr. Pepper, William Pepper, was the representative of the King family. The jury found in America that the government had killed Martin Luther King. And you know what happened? Not a word in the controlled media. We have the four-tape set, and we have the book by William Pepper on the murder of Martin Luther King. We have a four-tape set on who killed Bobby Kennedy, and we have a book on who killed Bobby, and a DVD put out in Britain by the BBC, A JFK Must Die. But you see, you're not going to get this in America because the media is controlled and your access to information is controlled. We have two great four-tape sets with on the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK assassination and JFK assassination update. One of the interviews was with Dr. Crenshaw, who was at the Parkland Hospital that day when they brought Kennedy in. He was told if he ever revealed what he saw, he would never practice medicine. And he waited 25 years till he was ready to retire from surgery, and then he wrote the book about the Kennedy assassination and the wounds that were there. And of course, he was obviously shot. Kennedy was shot from the front, not from behind, as we've been told. And of course, immediately, why the Journal of the American Medical Association attacked Dr. Crenshaw. And so he sued him. And they gave him almost $250,000, $225,000, because they didn't want the case to go to court. They didn't want the American people to understand, of course, that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated, just like Rabin was assassinated, just like so many other people have been assassinated, as they killed certainly Martin Luther King, as they killed Bobby Kennedy, as they killed. And then, of course, we have so many other stories going into people who've been killed. And as I say, we've interviewed a number of people on my program who have in turn been killed. Certainly Gary Webb. We have the book called Into the Buzzsaw with essays by Gary Webb, and he ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make certain he was dead. Well, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 8 November 2010. Thank you for joining us today. Glad you made it through the weekend in good condition. We are so pleased to have you join us today. Much more information on the financial front. Joining us is Bob Chapman today, but lots of news regarding the financial sector. One of those, is your bank one of the 437 in immediate danger of failure? That is major. 437 banks that may tank shortly. We're going to be putting this in the email blast. That's about the only way that I can possibly tell you that we can get it to you and let you make that decision as to what you want to do. But I'll tell you, after the break, I will give you the top 10 banks in danger of failure as of November 1st of this year. Now, the reason we're going to do that is because we can. And remember when about a year and a half ago we told you one bank that was about ready to tank in Ohio, and we got all this negative feedback? How dare you do that? You're trying to scare people. You're going to tell them bank failure. Well, look what's happened. So I'll give you the top 10 banks in danger of failure. Then hopefully you can get the list from someone that you know, because it is by state. And I would check it out, definitely. As you all know, I had an experience with that situation, and it is not fun to have to deal with. I think you just want to make sure you stay ahead of the curve, get out if you know your bank's about to fail, because you know what? You will be ahead of the curve by about 99%. Only about 1% of the people probably know what you're going to hear, if even that. Think about it, if even that. Also, I'm going to run by a scenario to Bob Chapman, run a scenario by Bob Chapman that was given on television that is probably the most thought-provoking, disconcerting, and perhaps alarming situation that I've heard talked about on television. Marie called me, said, "Did you see the show with Glenn Beck on Friday?" I said no. Now, those of you who did know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to run it by Bob Chapman because it's Glenn Beck. It's because I think it's probably, like Marie did, it was probably Bob Chapman's scenario that Glenn Beck has picked up. I don't know. I'm going to run it by Bob and see what he says, because if it's true, then we have a day-by-day indicator to tell us when it is time to regroup, and I mean like overnight. If you've been watching television, you've noticed over the weekend major changes in the Fox network to orange and blue. More major changes. You can also see the incremental move, not only from Fox network, the Fox regular channel, news channel, but also CNN. You will notice the combinations of red and orange together, the combinations of light blue and regular blue together, not navy, because they don't use that any longer. Now, why do I think that's important? Because every time there is an incremental change, that is a message. It is a movement toward a world government. That is the blue and orange we've been talking about. Go to sharebrig.de. Now, I know Sharebrig, the Standby High Readiness Command of the United Nations Army, says they're no longer functioning. Yeah, you bet. Anyway, if you were watching television, you also saw the imposter on television with a mask. Now, they did this for a reason, because they're not going to tell you about a guy wearing a mask that was able to get on a plane and be successful at doing this unless they want you to know it. I cannot imagine what they are thinking in publicizing this big time every news break to let you know it's possible. U.S. markets were down slightly.